Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers on the channel, welcome back to another episode of In the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Within these series, we hear about the life, the biography, the events which transpired during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. We heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father passing away before he was born, his mother passing away when he was at the age of 6, his grandfather had passed away when he was at the age of 8, and then he was under the care of his uncle Abu Talib, the blood brother of his father Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then when he reached the age of 25, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married. He married Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And at the age of about 35 minutes, scholars state, there was a rebuilding of the Ka'batul Musharrafa in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also taken part. And there was the brilliant and the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tribe of Makkatul Mukarrama, them coming together, and they were complaining. They were fighting with each other. There was conflict. And what was the fight? That we wish to place a black stone back into its place. Yes, into the corner of the black stone. We wish to put the black stone back. And they were all fighting with one another. And then they made an agreement that whosoever shall enter the haram first, and he will decide as to who places the stone back in its place. And the next day they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were all excited, even unhappy. They knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a fair and a just person, and they asked him to choose between them. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was and is, and yes, of course, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the best and the greatest of all characteristics, mashallah wa azzurul. No doubt he was very, very intelligent. He was very, very wise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to, in a beautiful manner, keep everybody happy in that he asked them all to take hold of a cloth and for them to place and replace the black stone in a collective manner where they could all pick it up, transport it, move it. And he himself, with his blessed hands, he placed the stone back into the Ka'batul Musharrafa. Now this was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 35, and then when he reached the age of 40, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received the first revelation about which we heard about in the previous episode. Now, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had received the first revelation. We heard the story of the first revelation, and then he was taken to Waraqa bin Nawfal radhiyallahu ta'ala an. The revelation itself, there are a few types of revelation. So the Quran al-Kareem was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other books were revealed to some prophets. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Torah. There were scriptures revealed to others, but the books are four. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Torah. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Zabur. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Injil. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given the last and final testament, the glorious Quran. Now, as to how this was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, scholars state that there were a number of ways where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the revelation. And the first of the many types that scholars mention, the first that they state are true dreams. Yes, so when it comes to a dream, now everybody, people all have dreams, don't they? We have dreams and we dream about various things, but then we wake up, well, there's no truth in those dreams. And sometimes a dream could be interpreted as Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was famous as that prophet who would interpret dreams. Yes? Now, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or this is a rule for prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, that their dreams are true, meaning completely true, and their dreams are a form of revelation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not see a dream which did not come true, and it was so true, as the scholars say, it's like the break of dawn. Subhanallah. So this was one way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive the revelation. Another is that an angel would cast a revelation within the heart and mind of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, according to some scholars who mentioned this. A third is that the angel would come appear to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a man. Yes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be able to see this angel, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would also be able to hear this angel, and in that way he would receive the revelation. This was one of the, you can say, one of the lighter or easy ways in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive the revelation. And the fourth way, which the scholars have stated, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive the revelation like the ringing of a bell. This is what it's stated in various ahadith, like in Sahih Bukhari too. And this was, according to Sayyidah Aisha radhiallahu anha, she states that this was the most difficult upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sweat, his blessed forehead, his entire head would sweat profusely this day, even on a very, very cold day. It could be a cold and windy day, but yet when he received the revelation in this form, in the message of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it stated that he would sweat profusely. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be sitting on a camel, then due to the weight, if that camel was standing, due to the weight, that camel would also sit down. Subhanallah, some narrations have mentioned that it would be as if the legs, or the forearms if you wish, the front legs of the camels are about to break. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion radhiallahu anhu, is one of those who would write down the revelation upon being told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He states, I would write down the revelation, and that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed knee was on the knee of Sayyidina Zayd radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was sitting beside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it says that when the revelation had descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel the stress, yes, and he would see the sweat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would describe it like pearls. And it would be so severe that he states that whilst I was writing it down, I felt as if my leg was about to break and crush due to the weight, due to the intensity of the revelation. And he would even say that now I don't think I will ever be able to walk again. Allahu Akbar. Not with this leg, I will never be able to walk again. This was the, and this is one of the reasons why the scholars state that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shaq al-sadr occurred, his blessed chest was split into two. The scholars state, now why did it happen many a time? And it also happened in the cave of Hira. And this reason stated is to prepare and strengthen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the revelation, which was very strong, you can say, which was very, very heavy. No doubt it's a kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Bayhaqi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullahu ta'ala. On this day when Surah Ma'idah was revealed, it was so strong that it would break the legs of the camel. Allahu Akbar. Another way, so that was the fourth, the ringing of the bell. The fifth, if you wish, there's no specific method of mentioning these, but the fifth, you can say, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see the angel in the angel's original form, meaning the angels now come in the form of a man, but now as an angel. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen him in his true form, that is, And it said that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam had 600 wings and it was so beautiful. And it stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had seen Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam twice in this particular manner. And this sixth form, or the sixth way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would receive revelation, is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on the Mi'raj, and he went past and beyond the seven heavens and even beyond the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and there are many secrets, many things which were kept secret, some things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shared. So this was direct Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing and speaking directly to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. These are some forms. Others, many scholars would also mention extra forms, but these are generally the forms in which, or the ways in which, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam had received the revelation, that is. Now, during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is said that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approximately, wallahu alam, we don't know the exact amount, we always say generally approximately, yes? So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approximately during his lifetime 24,000 times. And if we were to look at the rest of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that he came to see the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam how many times? 12 times, wallahu alam. But 12 times is mentioned in the sharh of Imam Zurqani rahimahullah ta'ala, that he came to see the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam 12 times. He came to Sayyidina Idris alayhi salatu wasalam 4 times. He came to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam 50 times. Remember, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had lived approximately 1400 or so years. He came to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam 42 times. He came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam 400 times. And he came to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam approximately 10 times. To Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he came to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He came to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam 50 times. He came to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He came to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam 10 times, etc., etc. 42 times Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he came to all of these prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, and to other prophets too. But how many times did he come? Whereas he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how many times? 24,000 times, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it couldn't have been the same. Of course it was different, and of course it was many more times. And he came to the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would always come to the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And remember that the first revelation was Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. It stated sometime later, after that incident, there was a second revelation of the glorious Quran, a Surah Muddathir, which we find within the glorious Quran. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir. Nevertheless, my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was first given the first revelation, and then he was given the second revelation, and then he was given the third revelation. So it stated that where in Surah Al-Muddathir, remember this word, so people say Muddathir. It's not Muddathir, it's Muddathir. So the Dal itself is a Mushaddad, which is the correct way of pronouncing this. And it is a word from the glorious Quran too, so we must be able to pronounce it correctly. Muddathir. So the Dal itself is Tashdeed. The Tha is also Tashdeed. Muddathir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow me, allow all of us to be able to, inshallah, recite the glorious Quran correctly the way it should be recited. But then is Qum fa'anzir. Stand and warn others. So this is where the ruling to. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to warn others too. Yes? And then وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And perform the takbir, exclaim and mention the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we say Allahu Akbar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Now, many people would be thinking, At that time, were there any prayers? Was there any sort of salah at this time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was approached by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and it stated that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had the most pleasant of fragrances. And he comes, he approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam. And there's a beautiful point to understand here, is that whenever Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Muhammad, he would refer to the meaning of Muhammad, and not just Muhammad by his name. And the meaning of Muhammad is the one who is always praised. This is, or the most praised one, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam. So he would say, by saying Ya Muhammad, he would mean, oh, you who is the most praised, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasallam. Whereas for us, we do not call out when we call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We do not call out and say, O Muhammad, by the name. Yes, but we would say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasallam. Now this Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam, greetings upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says that you are my messenger who have sent to the jinn and mankind. So call them and tell them, La ilaha illallah, that there is no God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he takes his foot and he strikes his foot against the floor, against the ground. And when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he does this, then what happens? The earth opens up and water gushes forth. Yes, water gushes from where the blessed foot of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam touched the earth or struck the earth. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the method of ablution. Yes, he taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the method of how to perform ablution. And we, all Muslims, of course, because this is a prerequisite for many forms of worship, and nearly all, not all, but many of the most important forms of worship, such as to touch the Quran. Yes, you cannot touch the Quran without ablution. You can recite it by heart. You can recite it by heart if you do not have ablution only, that is. Then you can recite it by heart, but you cannot touch it. You cannot pray your salah without being in the state of ablution. Many of the forms of worship also do not require ablution, but Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam was teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to perform ablution. So he himself would perform ablution, and then he would command Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also to emulate and to copy him as to how to perform ablution. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, upon having performed the ablution, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also copied him in performing ablution. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he also taught him how to pray salah. So this is the point. Yes, the five daily prayers became fard, became obligatory upon the Muslims during the incident of the Mi'raj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went beyond the seven heavens. They were the five daily prayers which are fard upon each and every single one of us. However, there were some prayers, according to many of the scholars, I think nearly all of the scholars agree that there was some type of prayer. As to how many, that's the difference. But the scholars state that there were at least two prayers which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was instructed to read. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam had taught him how to pray the salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam then had, upon seeing Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam, he prayed with him. And upon having prayed with him, then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wasallam then went back to the heavens. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he then went and he commanded his wife, Sayyidina Khadija radhiallahu anha, to perform ablution. So he taught her how to perform ablution. And then she would join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in praying salah. So there were two rak'at at this time, which was obligatory, which was fard. There was two rak'at in the morning and two rak'at in the evening. And some of the scholars have stated that this was the prayer of the time before the five daily prayers. And this prayer was also performed by others before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then there was a time where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was not given the revelation for some amount of time. And the scholars have stated that why is this? Why is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not for some particular time, he was not given the revelation? What is the reason for this? And the scholars state that the reason for this was that the love and the longing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have, this would increase by waiting. And then Surah Al-Duha was also revealed. Of course, others were revealed before this, but Surah Al-Duha was also revealed. Wal-Duha wal-layli idha saja. Every verse of the Quran is beautiful, no doubt about it. But some people have like a personal preference and a favorite. And this is one of those where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has not forsaken. There were some people who say that his Lord has forsaken him. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never forsaken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had never ever forsaken Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Coming to the point of those accepting Islam. So initially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the revelation, and he informed and invited those who were very, very close to him first. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I invited people to Islam, and everyone I invited had some sort of hesitation. They had some sort of reluctance, every one of them. There was some sort of, you know, they had to stop and reflect and ponder and think for a moment. They had to, you know, there was some sort of consideration, except for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That when I invited Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Islam, he immediately, he accepted Islam. There was no hesitation, no reluctance, no, you know, pondering for a moment. Yes? No, you know, let me be a little cautious, let me think about it and get back to you. There was none of that. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately accepted Islam. So they would say that Khadija radiallahu anha, one of the first Muslims to accept Islam. Now there's a difference of opinion, who accepted Islam first? But generally, in order to bring, to reconcile between all of the various opinions, the scholars say, like Sayyidina Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and there's something he mentions which is very, very beautiful. He states that from the free adult men, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who was the first to accept Islam, and overall, he was also the first to openly inform and tell people of his acceptance of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So from the free men, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the first to accept Islam. From the adult women, Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the first to accept Islam. From the children, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, he was the first to accept Islam from amongst the children. From amongst the freed slaves, Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the first to accept Islam. And from the slaves who were and remained slaves at the time, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first to accept Islam. Now even overall, they were amongst the first people to accept the religion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So then later, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidullah, these were also the Ashara Mubashara. These were the people who accepted Islam through the invitation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it stated that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had accepted Islam, he had 40,000 dinar, that's gold coins. He had 40,000 dinar. And the scholars state that nearly all of them. So during the Hijrah itself, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq had 5,000 dinar. The scholars state that nearly all of the wealth possibly, wallahu alam, that all of the wealth was spent in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was spent freeing those slaves who had accepted Islam. Islam is a religion of freedom, which teaches you proper freedom. And Islam was the first religion who emphasized even and taught the rights of slaves and the encouragement to free slaves. And this was nearly 1500 years ago. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, subhanallah, Islam brought civilization to the people. This is something we must remember. Islam brought civilization to the world. Islam brought civilization to the people. And subhanallah, the people around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they were the closest and amongst the first to accept Islam. Yes, there were some close relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who did not. They had harmed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were disrespectful to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they tried to hurt and place as many hurdles in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, radhiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they were subjected to and they suffered the most severe of persecution. For what? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to continue to propagate the religion of Islam, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And they were subjected to torture and difficulty and hardship. Many viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah wa'azudul, in the next episode we shall hear a little about that. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then instructed to proclaim the message of Islam openly and to invite others to Islam too. And this is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to experience this persecution, and he would experience torment at the hands of the non-Muslims of Quraysh. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we must remember, we must take a lesson from this, that what have we done to spread Islam? What can we do to spread the message of Islam? What should we do? And of course, we should all spread the message of Islam as much as we can too, inshallah. Also, take out a pen and paper. I know it's too late now, but for your next episode, take out a pen and paper and try to write to, in order for us to be able to remember, inshallah, some of what we have heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow me to act upon this advice too, as well as yourselves, inshallah. That's all for today in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Join us again for more on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.